Okay, first of all, welcome back to some of the old-timers from the past, previous Gugulim. I see we have a couple of new faces here also, so welcome aboard to everybody. So as we continue our trek through Halacha, so what we're going to try to focus on this man is an array of different malachas. I understand everyone's kind of learning some degree of Shabbos, Chalagim Mishnebura, and different shapes or forms over the next couple of months. So we're going to try to highlight those malachas that you may not necessarily be touching upon with Rabbi Cohen. But again, obviously in Hilchos Shabbos there is a certain degree of overlap. There are certain klalim that are going to appear in different malachas. But we'll try to keep ourselves focused on really twofold, on the malachas per se, and the basic fundamental yesodos that emanate from any particular malacha with going to impact on general Hilchos Shabbos. We'll begin with the malacha of gozes. So when you speak about the malacha of gozes, so probably most of us would think that this doesn't speak to us. Most of us don't have sheep. Most of us are not shearing our sheep. So we would think that malachas gozes is one of those malachas we can tuck together with the rest of the, you know, weaving, etc. malachas that nobody really knows what they are anyway. Nobody cares too much about them. I mean, maybe people should care about them. So we don't think too much about malachas gozes. However, we're quick to find out that malachas gozes does make a serious impact on our lives, because gozes does apply to human beings as well. And the Mishnayos and the Gemaras and Masechet Shabbos talk about potential issues of gozes as it relates to not to shearing wool, but to cutting hair, cutting nails, perhaps other things that grow on people's bodies. And that's really going to be the focus of today's shiur. Just what are the parameters of the statement, how much malachas gozes really is going to be impacted, halacha l'maisa, concerning human beings rather than the focus being on animals per se. So the Mishnah in Masechet Shabbos speaks about Nota Sairo. Person removes the hair from his head, from his beard, from his body. So the Mishnah talks about potentially being a Malacha Deraisa. The Gemara has a whole qualification about, is it being done Derech Shinui, is it not being done Derech Shinui? It's a general rule, of course, that permeates all of Hilchos Shabbos. Anytime you do things Kaleach Hayat, so by definition, becomes not a Deraisa. I didn't say it's mutter. Sometimes it is mutter, sometimes it's not mutter, but a deraisa it's not going to be. So the Gemara has a whole pilpul about doing nota sairo, if it's yiparna, cutting one's hair, cutting one's nails, in a normal fashion, abnormal fashion, deraisa, derabanan, etc. So on the spot, Eruditasis raises a question that they don't understand. Why is cutting hair ever going to be malacha deraisa? It is so fundamentally different than malachas gezes as was practiced in the Mishkan. Now, what makes it so fundamentally different? The fact that gezes in the Mishkan was with animals and this is people, that in of itself probably is not enough to throw us off. But Taisa invokes a principle that, in case you haven't talked about it yet, so it's not going to go long to do discuss it, that's what's called the Balacha Sheh Tzvicha Legufa. So this is a very, very famous sugya, many, many places in Masechet Shabbos, the Machlekes HaTanoim, between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, whether Malacha Sheh Tzvicha Legufa is an Issei Deraisa, or Malacha Sheh Tzvicha is an Issei Derabanan. What in the world is the Malacha Sheh Tzvicha Legufa? So the Gemara never really defines it exactly. The Gemara gives a few illustrations of it, and we have to try to kind of use our imagination as to what exactly the term means. So the example that at least appears in the Mishnayos, one of the examples that appears in the Mishnayos later on in the Masechta, is Hamaytzias Hameis. So we know that carrying an item, Hotzah, is one of the Lamentes Malachas. You could violate Hotzah D'Araisa, either if you carry from Mishus HaYochid to Mishus HaRabim, or vice versa, or Dal Ramos with Mishus HaRabim. Any of those three carry with it an Anish of Skila. So the Mishnah quotes Machlekes HaTanoim, what would the din be if I carry a mace, I take a dead body out of my house into the street on Shabbos? So I carry from Rosh HaSayachah to Rosh HaSarabim. So Rabbi Yehuda says, so you carry, so you chayev skila. Rabbi Shimon says, no, you're not going to be chayev. Why are you not chayev? Because carrying the mace, the mace, the HaSarabim, is a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. So what exactly does that term mean? So Rashi seems to say that malacha she'ena tzricha legufa means that my goal in taking this dead body out is really negative in nature. It's not really positive. It's not that I'm trying to do something productive, something constructive. I'm trying very, very hard to get rid of something. I would have been much happier if the mace wouldn't have been in my house in the first place. So Rashi seems to put the spin on Malach Shetzich Lagufa as being something that, it's a malacha that, yes, I'm doing, but I really didn't want to do it in the first place. I would have been much, 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 much happier with the result if I didn't have to bother doing melacha in the first place. So that's a very, very tricky definition of melacha yatzich legufa. So we're not going to go with Rashi right now. We're going to put a little bit more focus on Taisha's Shita. Taisha says that melacha yatzich legufa is very, very simple. You just have to plug one word into that phrase. That one word is Mishkan. Says Taisus, just like everything else is derived from Melechas and Mishkan, so too this principle is derived. And therefore, whenever you do Melech and Shabbos, it is not enough just to ask yourself, am I doing the Maisa that was done in the Mishkan? I have to ask myself, am I doing it for the similar purpose as was done in the Mishkan? I was very careful in my words. I did not say identical purpose. I said similar purpose. So let's say the Mashal. The Melech and the Mishkan was to carry the Krashim. So would somebody say, well, if I don't carry Krashim, if I carry a bottle of water, carry a sefer, so I'm not chayav because it's not dubi the Mishkan? That's ridiculous. Those have been in my shiurim in the past. Whenever we talk about Halacha Shabbos, we always give this as an example. Whenever there's a model in Halacha, so you have to be careful which parts of the model you extrapolate and which parts of the model are tangential or really irrelevant. So Lamashal, the Torah gives you a model. The model is Melechas HaMishkan. So I want to know, if I do act X today, is that called dubi the Melechas HaMishkan or not? So let's say, for example, someone's going to tell you the following Shulchan Aruch. You're only chayav on Shabbos if you do a melacha in the desert. So if you're in the Sahara Desert, you're in the Grand Canyon, you're in a desert climate, then you're chayav on Shabbos, because that's dubi the Mishkan. But if you happen to be in the North Pole, the Mishkan, that's not chilul Shabbos. So I would hope that without having learned too much about Shabbos, you'd realize that the guy's nuts. That's the wrong model. You're taking something which is totally irrelevant. The only chayiv in Ilcha Shabbos, if your name starts with a bay, is like Petzal. So if your name is Baruch, then you chayiv. If your name is Gedali, then you potter. So that's nonsense. Less than Purim Torah. So you have to be very, very careful when you want to invoke a model of Mishkan and extrapolate the details. You have to make sure that you're focusing on an important detail. So Rabbi Shimon said that this important detail is critical. Namely, it is not only important what you are doing, it is important why you are doing what you are doing. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon says that if I carry a bottle of water into the street, that is close enough to Mishkan. It's not identical to Mishkan. It's not Krashim. On the other hand, what was the tamtzis ha-melacha? What was the essence of the melacha of carrying? Carrying the Mishkan was done to get an object that I want to use. I want to use this krashim or something. I want to use the sefer. I want to use the bottle of water. That's called melacha d'oraisa. If I'm doing carrying for a different reason, because I'm trying to remove something rather than to use it, I want to get rid of something. I want to get as far away from me as possible rather than bringing it closer to me. So that is the antithesis of melacha d'mishkan. That is a melacha shein tzrich legufa. And Rabbi Yehuda says, there's no such cloud. There's no such principle. Rabbi Yehuda says, you did the ma'aseh yechayef. Rabbi Shimon says, no, ma'isa is not enough. It has to be a ma'isa with a similar tachlis, similar purpose as the melachas ha-mishkan. It does not mean to say that Rabbi Shimon permitted melachas ha-tzich l'gufa. The Mishnah says very clearly when it's potter. Whenever the Gemara says potter, it's potter v'alosa, except for a very, very small handful of exceptions. So in Issa d'Rabbanan, it would be. When a love of their ice, it would be potter. So Tosfos poses this question in Masechta Shabbos. How come a person cuts his hair? Why is he chayav in Shabbos? This should be a classic example of melacha she'etzich leguf of geizes. Why is that? Geizes in the Mishkan was done that we shared the sheep to use the wool from the sheep. Whereas over here, I am not sharing the sheep, I'm cutting my hair, not to use the hair. So if I want to make a sheitel out of this hair, I probably wouldn't be able to provide a very long sheitel for somebody, but if I want to get a haircut and provide a sheitel for somebody, so that would be a melacha tzrich legufa. But if I'm cutting my hair to get rid of my hair, so manish down to that from the person who's meitzes emes out of his house, that's a melacha tzrich legufa. So Taisus poses that challenge. Taisus says, you know what? It's a really good question. And there really is no answer to that question. The Gemara, the Mishnah, the Gemara, the whole sugya in Shabbos speaks about being chayev. Taisa shows the hand, but Taisa says, the lace brayer, it must be that entire sugya must be following the view of Rabbi Yehuda. But in Achinami, if you would follow, I didn't say we do follow Rabbi Shimon yet, but if you would follow the view of Rabbi Shimon, so then in Achinami, the din would be that you would be potter, because getting a haircut, cutting your nails, all of the above, are in fact malacha she'en etzrich begufa. So in one fell swoop, Tosfos opened up the possibility that getting a haircut is not a deraisa, cutting your nails is not a deraisa, if this cheshbon is right, and if, again, it's a big, big if we pass like Rabbi Shimon. So ad kan devar Tosfos. So notwithstanding what Tosfos writes, if you open up a Shulchan Aruch, you do not get that impression at all. because when the Shulchan Aruch quotes the din in Shin Mem about getting haircuts and cutting nails, the Shulchan Aruch uses the magic word chayiv. And chayiv and potter are not the same thing. Potter of al-Osir means it's also midirabon, and chayiv means it's chayiv deraisa. And again, it's hard, I don't want to question the Balei HaTaisvus, but it's kind of hard to accept what Taisvus is saying. An entire sugi and shas, lock, stock, and barrel. The Gemara never says anywhere, by the way, you should just know, Hamani Rabbi Hudi, Velo Rabbi Shimon Poli, Kitanoi. So Taisvus said it, but it would appear in the Shulchan Aruch that the Shulchan Aruch is not going down that route, because the Shulchan Aruch does say chayef, unless one wants to take one of two possibilities. Unless one wants to say, maybe when the Shulchan Aruch says Yechayi for getting a haircut, and it means it's an Issa Deraisa, maybe the Shulchan Aruch paskins, B'lach She'atzir L'gufa, is Chayef. Now, it wouldn't be crazy to say that, because we have precedent in Mishnah for that. The Rambam happens to paskin that way. So we know for a fact that the Rambam paskins that B'lach She'atzir L'gufa is Chayef. And we know 9 out of 10 times the Shulchan Aruch does follow the Ikvas Rambam. So maybe what the Shulchan Aruch is telling us is Tais is right. Tais is Hanoch is correct. That getting haircuts and cutting nails does depend on Malach She'atzir L'gufa. But by the way, we happen to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Shimon. So that would be a viable approach, possibly, except for two problems. First of all, the Shulchan Aruch would have a little bit of explaining to do why he sides with the Rambam against everybody else. You know, the Mechaber does paskin like the Rambam very, very often. In Beis Yosef, so he writes that the general Mahalach Klal Psach of the Yosakara was that he's turned to three great Rishayim, the Rif, the Ram, and the Rosh. They were the three Piskei Aloch of Rishayim in his days. And the Beis Yosef writes that 9 out of 10 times, so he's going to follow 2 out of the 3. So whatever the Rav of Ram Mahachas, whatever the Rav of those three Piskei Aloch, pillars of Halach are, that's going to be the final word. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch is tilted in the direction of the Sephardi Psach, because both the Rif and the Ram was Sephardi, the Rosh was an Ashkenazi, so the Rosh was always the one left out in the cold. So yes, we know that the Shulchan Aruch would follow follows the Rambam in a very, very strong manner. But here, probably nobody else holds like this Rambam. Probably most all the other Rishonim hold like Rabbi Shimon. The Malach She'atzir L'gufa is in fact potter. So it would be a little striking for the Shulchan Aruch to break ranks with all the other Rishonim. But even more problematic is that there are other statements in Shulchan Aruch, and hopefully we'll talk about them later on in the year, in the siman about Tzedah. There are other indications that Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch does not paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So that's probably not the way we want to go. The Magen Avraham, some wanted to say the Grah, some wanted to suggest this Mahalach, but again, we don't necessarily want to be Meshubah to this Mahalach. One could take another approach, that maybe when the Shulchan Aruch said you're cutting your hair, you're going to be chayav, the Shulchan Aruch was not talking about every single haircut. The Shulchan Aruch was talking about sometimes getting a haircut is chayav, i.e. if you're in the sheitel business. If you're collecting your hair to make a sheitel, then hachamayiskin, you're going to be chayav. Again, it's also very, very hard to read that, and the Shulchan Aruch should have told us that, unless you're going to argue that the Mechaber wasn't particularly interested in telling you what's also derais, what's also midirabanan, because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we're not bringing chatosis, and no one's getting skill anymore, so it doesn't make much of a difference. But again, it's a little bit misleading. If that's Shaz Shulchan Aruch, that hachamay askina, that you're collecting your hair to make a sheitel, it's very, very hard to swallow that in the Shulchan Aruch. And even if you're willing to, you know, accept that, I'm still trying to figure out what in the world you're going to do with those nails that you're collecting, how you're going to be chayav for that. So it's a big tzarchim. So to say either one of these two pshat in Shulchan Aruch is a little bit difficult. Again, there are gedolei ha'paiskim and gedolei nesikim in Shulchan Aruch, who some say one, some say the other, but it doesn't seem to be the pashas of the Rambam. So what is the pashas of the Shulchan Aruch? The Torah Taisus is so convincing, so compelling, that it's not shayach to be over according to Yeshivim in HaTorah. So what is pshat in the Mechaber? So the Mishnah Berurah, in his long, long Be'alocha, presents what he thinks is the Emes La'amitai in terms of this entire sugya, and that is the Rivash. So the Rivash has a Chiddush Gadol, disagrees with Tosfos. The Rivash writes that it's very possible that even according to Rabbi Shimon, no Tosairo B'tziparnov will be an Issa D'Oraisa. Just getting a haircut per se is not necessarily the Malach She'atzir L'gufa. Taisa's entire premise was incorrect, says the Rivash. What was wrong? What was the deficiency, so to speak, with Taisa's premise? So the Rivash says that going back to how we started off the definition of Malach She'atzir L'gufa, Malach She'atzir L'gufa is very, very much Mishkan oriented. Whatever the tachlis, whatever the purpose of the Mishkan was, that's the deraisa. Whenever you're veering from the tachlis of the Mishkan, then you're in the realm of Malach She'atzir L'gufa. So says the Rivash, why did they do geizes in the Mishkan? What was the purpose of geizes in the Mishkan? So we thought that they were shearing the sheep in order to use the wool for the various materials, various things in the Mishkan, various fabrics in the Mishkan that required wool, which is definitely true. There's no question that a good chunk of the Malach of geizes was done for that purpose. But there may have been other reasons why they did geizes as well. For example, so says the Rivash, they had to produce the Oros Eilim Ma'adamim. Right, they had these animal skins that had to be used for different parts of the construction of the Mishkan. Oros Eilim Adamim, Oros Tachashim, whatever in the world these things were. So suggests the Rivash, they had to remove the hair from these things, not because they wanted to use the hair for these things, but because they wanted to beautify the skins. They wanted to have nice-looking animal skins. So by definition, they had to remove some of the hair in order to improve the quality, to improve the beauty of the skins that were left behind. And that was part of Malachas HaMishkan. So says the Rivash, in effect, what the Torah is telling us, when the Torah says, Asasaka Malacha, and Shteitin Toshim HaPelach HaMessina means the Lamites Malachas, Malachas HaMishkan. And we know that one of the Malachas HaMishkan was Geizes. So we got to go back to Betzal and Aliyah's, textbooks and see, what were they doing Geizes for? So until the Rivash came along, I thought they were doing Geizes just to use the wool, which is what Taisa thought also. Says the Rivash, no, they were doing Geizes for two reasons. Sometimes they were doing Geizes to use the wool, and sometimes they were using Geizes to beautify the skin. Either one of those two purposes will be a bona fide malacha deraisa, will be a malacha tzvicha legufa, and one will actually be chayav for. And therefore, basically, says the Rivash, but Taisa said that Taisa limited the entire sugya in Shabbos only to Rabbi Yehuda, not to Rabbi Shimon. It's pasha, not true. So some later acharei become sano questions this Rivash. How do you know? So Terry says, I don't know. I wasn't there, so I don't know. We have to check with Betzal and Aliyev. What exactly did he go this for? I have no idea. So if you think that this Rivash is accurate in terms of the description of what Malachas Geizes was, so then this is going to have enough kemina and love of deraisa. Getting a haircut will be a Malacha deraisa bisman as a, even if you possibly could be shivan. If you hold, like Taisvus, that unless you're convinced that we're going to follow Rabbi Yehuda like the Rambam, or unless you're making your hair for a shaito, then cutting hair by definition will only be a nisid derabbanan. So you're probably wondering, okay, deraisa derabbanan, and again, we're not in Beis HaMikdash, we're not in Kofar Chatas, no one's getting skila today. Does it really make much of a difference whether we're dealing with deraisa derabbanan? Even Rabbi Shimon agrees it's awesome with derabbanan. No way did Rabbi Shimon ever say, Malachas HaSukkah was mutter. That's absurd. So does it really make much of a difference? So the truth is that for us, most of the time it doesn't make much of a difference. But a theme that always permeates Hilchos Shabbos is it's very, very important to know whether something is deraisa derabbanan. Not so much for when a Jew has to do it, but for when a goy has to do it potentially on behalf of a Jew. Because again, I'm going to jump a little ahead to some of the klolim of Amir Yachom, which is hopefully way, way down the line. But as it impacts in Malachas, we'll have to make reference to it. So there is an issim of the Rabbanan called the Amir Yachom. Everybody agrees there's an issim of the Rabbanan called the Amir Yachom. There is a very difficult Rashi in Chumash and Parshas Bo that sounds a little bit like Amir Yachom is a deraisa. It's very, very hard to understand that. Parshas and all the sugyas, the Gemara is just about explicit that Amir Yachom is only the Rabbanan. Why did Chazal institute it? So I have a half a dozen reasons why I have to save something to talk about later in the year. So Lemaisa, there's an issim of the Rabbanan called the Amir Yachom. Are we ever matir? This isser? Are there any grounds that we would just ignore this isser? So the answer is yes. So every once in a while, Chazal had certain kulas built into Amir Yachom. It's only there, but anyway, b'makom chayle, b'makom maybe bris mila, maybe b'makom kibush Eretz Yisrael. An array of different scenarios that Chazal may have looked the other way, may have been willing to lift this isser there above Amir Yachom. So one of the famous applications of when Chazal were willing to lift this Isser, which is a big machlokes, we're showing what I'm about to say is true, but in Shukrach we do pask in this way, what's called the Shvus to Shvus B'Makom Mitzvah. If you're dealing with a certain action that itself is not prohibited in HaTorah, it's only in the Sadr Rabban anyway, whatever the particular action that in question is, this Gufa is at worst only in the Sadr Rabban. And I'm not going to do it myself. I'm going to ask a Goy to do it on my behalf. So I have two things in my favor. I'm not doing it, and in itself is only mitzvah rabbanon. If you have a third fact in your favor, it becomes mutter. What is that? It's a mocha mitzvah. So where did this come from? Where did this cloud come from? It came from a sugya maseches erevin, a sugya maseches gittin. Again, hopefully, as the year goes on, we'll talk about Amir Yachom in a topic in of itself when we finish all the lamites malacha. So we'll try, hopefully, for some Amir Yachom down the pipe in April or so. So we'll try to solidify some of the klal that we're saying. But suffice it to say, for our purposes, we pass in the halacha that a shvus to shvus, the mokom mitzvah is in fact permissible. So now, you know, the wheels start turning in our heads. Could we conceive of any of these kinds of scenarios playing out where I'm not going to cut my hair, I'm not going to cut my nails, I'm going to have a guy do it for me, and I'm going to hide behind, well, it's only a darabanan anyway, and it's a mir yakum, and it's a makom mitzvah. I'm going to put all three factors together, so that could be the beginnings of a kula. Who kula? Where kula? What makom mitzvah could we possibly dream of? When would this ever come up? So this is a very, very famous discussion. This is a little bit of an interplay between Nuchas Nid and Nuchas Shabbos. This discussion proper really appears in your Adei Chelek Beis in the sugyas about Chatzitza for Tevila, but it's really more of Hilchos Shabbos Shaila than it is Hilchos Nida Shaila. We need a little bit of Hilchos Nida just as a background to understand, to appreciate why the Shaila makes such a serious impact in Hilchos Shabbos. The Mishnayos and Tosaftos talk about different things that could be in a person's body that are potential chatzitza when they go to the mikvah. So, you know, the starting point is that when a Torah does the chatzitza, it has to be a rov hamakpid. It has to be in most of the person's body, and it has to be something that they really want to remove. And both of those things are present. So let's say a woman just went to mudsliding, and she's filthy from head to toe, and now she wants to go to the mikvah. Before she goes to take a shower, she wants to run to the mikvah first. So that could be a chatzitza deraisa. Short of that, you're not going to have a chatzitza deraisa. That's why we're pretty comfortable saying that we never ever, I've yet to meet a rov who's possibly a chatzitza deraisa shayla. It really doesn't happen that often. The chatzitzas that we have today are what the Gemara says, midirabanon, chazal medigazera, ibn mitzami. But it's a problem. So now that's a whole different ballgame. So a woman has a little something on her body, and it's a very, very small amount, insignificant amounts. I mean, a Torah is bottle, but with the Rabbanon, it's still a problem. They have a geyser, a miyut ha-makbid, or a rov ha-makbid. So anytime a woman has a shayla of a chatzitza, you have to ask yourself a question. It's not enough to say it's a miyut. You have to make sure that's a davashin ha-makbid. So the Mishnayos and the Tosaftos talk about potential issues of chatzitzas with fingernails. Person has some dirt under the fingernail. She just was baking before. Her hands got muddy, so she got a little bit of mud or some dirt underneath the fingernail. Is that a potential problem or not? So the Chazal speak about the intricacies, about where is it situated, which part of the nail, how much is it protruding, and back and forth, and back and forth. Is it a makbid or not makbid? You follow how? You follow the oil, you follow both. The chumra is cool. It gets very complicated. So we're not learning Chos Nida now. But suffice it to say, to be sure and right, in the sugya of chasidah, that because of this problem, that sometimes dirt can pose the problem of chatzitza, therefore they developed the minhag Yisrael that women, before they go to the mikvah, they cut their nails. So if you cut your nails, you can have significantly less of a problem having chatzitza. Women's going to come with long nails, and the nails may potentially be dirty, so that's going to raise a whole series of problems, potentially nuchas chatzitza. Therefore, to avoid any of these problems, so the minhag, this is a minhag quoted by the Balei HaTosfos, by the Rishonim, this is an age of minhag, hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of years old, to cut the nails before they go to the mikvah, to avoid any of these complications. Sure. There is another potential complication that could be brought about through nails, which is a very, very controversial, whether it's even a complication altogether. So the fact that dirt could be a chatzitza, that's chazal, that's mishnayos. But here, some Rishonim had an added chumra that maybe the nail itself may be a chatzitza. Nail, you have to cut off, pull your nails out, what does that mean? So some Rishonim say that if a nail is growing normally and everything is perfect and everything is, you know, nice and short, whatever it is, so that's a fun, that's not considered to be a chatzitza. But what if the nail is very, very long and she's due to get them cut anyway? She's actually planning on going to get them cut in an hour from now. But before she gets them cut, she's going to go run to the mikvah first. So some Rishonim coined the phrase, anything that's omed l'kach, to be removed, in the very, very near future it's supposed to be removed, it's as if it's already removed, and it's as if it's removed and stuck back on. So now, when she goes to the mikvah, she's going on to mikvah with, no pun intended, an artificial nail. Even though it's part of the body, it hasn't been removed yet. Halachically, it's been removed, and now it's sitting blocky against a regular, natural nail. And that gufa may be a davar chatzitz. So that's a very, very questionable chiddush. That's the source of that chiddush is a Ravan. One of the Balei HaTosfos has that chubra. The Shach quotes it from the Ramban. It was a Tel Sofer in the Shach. And it was supposed to be the Ravan, but for hundreds of years, everyone called it the Ravan. It's not the Ravan. So the bottom line is that this is a very, very questionable chumra. Whether this is even true. So the later post can say, liyasas eis, that's another good reason why women should be encouraged to cut their nails. So either because there's a dirt problem, that was probably the original reason, or because of the secondary reason that maybe if we don't get into the habit of cutting nails, you may sometimes run into this problem of kodava omid lochos kikotzestam, because maybe she really will be due for a manicure, so that could potentially pose a problem. So Ramaisa, Beri, Beris, Kach Nagu, the women for years, for generations gone by, to cut their nails before she goes to the mikvah. It is intuitively obvious that if a woman is going to the mikvah on Friday night, that she better cut the nails before Shabbos starts. It is also intuitively obvious that every once in a while she's going to forget. And in the whole array of Shabbos preparations, again, when a woman goes to the mikvah Friday night, so it's an added level of stress, where she's got to go take a bath and take a shower and do everything else, to clean the theater, hakfabi, all the chafif, and everything, all the chafif, need to make sure she's clean the chatzitzas. She has to remember to cut her nails. And it has happened more than one time in the history of Klal Yisrael, that a woman has walked into the mikvah on Friday night, and she goes through the checklist, and it says, did you cut your nails? Forgot that one. So what do you do at that point? So I'll tell you what you can't do at that point. You can't go take a nail clipper and cut your nails then, because that's Chil Shabbos. Now, whether that's Chil Shabbos, deraisa, derabanan, depends what you think about what we spoke about before. So it's out of the question for you to cut your nail yourself. The question becomes, is it permissible or not permissible? Is it recommended or perhaps even required to have a non-Jewish woman come to the mikvah and actually cut your nails for you? Can we justify that? Should we justify that? Should we recommend that or not? So everything we spoke about now, about the Tosfos, the Ravash, and the Raisas, the Rabbanan, sets the stage for this Shaila. But this Shaila becomes very, very complicated on multiple levels. It touched on two different issues that really converge together in Hilchos Shabbos. One is all the issues of Malach Shetzich L'Gufa, how do you properly define Malach Shetzich L'Gufa in terms of Geizes? That's Shaila number one. And then there's a whole other angle of Hilchos Shabbos here, namely, when I ask the non-Jew to cut my nails, it's not exactly like asking the non-Jew to turn on the light. I'm putting my nail forward, putting my finger forward, and I'm helping out the cutting process. That's what's called mesayeya. That may be a whole nother loaded question on Hilchos Shabbos. When a goy does the maaseh, but I'm very much actively participating in that maaseh, can we hide behind the Bil Yaakum, or is that me, myself, and I doing that halacha? Is that a potential Shabbat deraisas? That's an even more loaded, complicated question. So the bottom line is, the first half of the question, at least, is definitely going to depend upon what are we dealing with here? We're dealing with the deraisa, we're dealing with the derabanan. What exactly is the status of what's going on here? So the Taz in Hilchos Nida, Shirai is Chai V'Kayim. The Taz says, Gevalt, you can't ask a non-Jew to cut your nails. Out of the question, just get not, you're crazy. You're sugar to ask a non-Jew to cut your nails. That's tantamount to asking a non-Jew to do a malacha deraisa for you. And presumably there's no justification for that. There was one day in Rishon that says that Amil Yaakov is butum b'chol mitzvah, but we try not to follow that. So the Taz says that no matter what great tzarech there is of cleaning the nails before cutting nails before going to the mikvah, we cannot ask a non-Jew to finish. You know why? Quotes a Mishnah and Shabbos, the Mishnah says Chayev. Quotes a Shacharav, Shacharav says Chayev. It's an Issah Deraisa. So if it's an Issah Deraisa, the game is over. It's not negotiable. You cannot ask a goy to do a malacha deraisa for you under any circumstances. Then to make matters worse, the Taz says, this is not just a Mir Yaakov. The Taz says, machmer both things. He says, it's an Issa Deraisa, and therefore it's out of the question to ask the Goy. And number two, when you ask the Goy to do it, and you put your finger forward, and they cut with you, guess what? You're the Mechal Shabbos Deraisa. Because you're being Messiah, and your Siyu is considered to be a Mice of Chil Shabbos proper. So the Taz says, forget it, out of the question, shoot fun of life, and don't even dream of asking a Goy to do it for you. So what do you do? Gevalt. So the Taz says, you go to the mikvah without cutting your nails. Gevalt, how can you do that? So the Taz says, it's only a minig anyway. It's not mikra din. So the minig is not ma'akev. So if you lays bur, you can't do it. So the Taz says, the Taz, what should you do? Look at the nails carefully and make sure they're clean. And as long as they're clean, so mikra din, they're okay. And the whole thing is only a minig anyway, and it's not the end of the world, and you can't be b'chol Shabbos deraisa in order to fulfill this minig. That's the famous, famous psak of the Taz. So I didn't say that we followed the Taz l'halacha, because the Shach is the bar plukta on the Taz in this one. So hopefully that's next shiur. Like when the next year is going to be, we'll talk about that in a second. But at some point in the next, whatever it is, we have the next Wednesday night together in Yeshiva. So we will pick up on this Chiddush of the Taz, his application of the Taz, and the Shach's arguing with the Taz, and how this is going to all really, really, we set the stage in terms of, are we dealing with the Raisas, the Rabbanans here? This is probably the most relevant Halacha Maaseh topic that comes out from Geizes for us. Okay, I think just schedule-wise, just next Wednesday night is the following Wednesday night is Yom Kippur. The following is the Sukkot, the following is the Pesach.